A big thanks once again to John McAteer, editor of the Tyrconnell Tribune newspaper, Emma McGuinness, manager of the Donegal Mart, and Catherine Noon, lawyer and former Fine Gael senator. Brilliant guests, as always. Loved having them on the show. And they've certainly sparked the conversation with you, and it's great to see so many of you texting in, and I really do appreciate it. A caller says, an elderly man from Falkara says, that back in his day, when 15, 16 and 17-year-olds were taking cars, they were speed limited, so they couldn't go above 45 miles an hour, especially on main roads. Is that, if we're serious about road safety, we are going to have to start employing technology. Look, fines are all right. Penalty points, they do a job. Scary adverts, again, eventually I think people get a little bit desensitized to them. I mean, if we are serious, is it about technology? Is it limiting car speed? So that why should you really need to go over 100 kilometers per hour? I know sometimes a car's doing 90 and you want to get past them and you could get into bother being stuck at 100, right? Or whatever. I know there's arguments against it. When you are travelling, your phone knows you're travelling. A system could be put in place whereby if you get a message, you can't send a message out until the car has reached no speed at all. Now, I understand there could be kids in the back messaging and that's a problem. Maybe it's just a pop-up that says, you know, are you sure you aren't driving and it's safe to text? But we won't go for that because it inconveniences us and we don't like it. So how serious are we about stopping the carnage on our roads? A huge amount of people on our roads have died as passengers. Passengers as well, but foot traffic, walkers, joggers, runners, people on bikes, people on scooters. They make up a big proportion of those losing their lives. Look at the last couple of years. Drew Harris did a fantastic job of cleaning up the Gardaí, but the rank and file were against him, and this made his job more difficult. Letting offences slide because they know someone, spending at the Garda College, the list goes on and on. Another caller says, this reality is, or the reality is, it's more about the lack of Garda cars in the county than lack of professionals in the job. Again, it might not be those in this county that's talking about it. It isn't kind of an unfair report because it potentially tarnishes all Gardaí when the majority we know are doing their job well. And this is not someone saying to an inspector. Now, these people were in the cars with them or on duty with them, right? This isn't an anonymous report that was filled out online. But these people are choosing not to track down offences. It's not because they don't have a car. That's a different problem altogether, but these are people that are out and about in cars. Another caller says, I think that anybody who kills someone on the roads, they should be banned from driving for life. That is actually banned from driving for life, yeah. Another, the answer to road deaths in Donegal is a multifaceted approach involving a combination of enforcement, education and engineering. We are lacking that. Engineering is a critical one in there, you know. I really do think that sometimes we don't factor that in enough, how maybe the road layouts, the road surface may have contributed to something or other. Another caller believes enforcement is the answer, and the latest Garda report proves we're paying the Gardaí to sit in their cars. People across this province, the nine-county province of Ulster, are quite grateful to Bertie Ahern for his part in the peace process and the Good Friday Agreement. I'm from St. Johnstone, a wee border village, and I can assure you all that I always will be quite grateful to Bertie for that. In addition, Bertie is trusted and quite well liked by leading unionist politicians, which would be very useful as regards the All-Ireland aspect of the presidency, Sean in St. Johnstone. Yeah, you know, Sean, it's your view and there's a lot of people. Sometimes we presume the loudest voices are the majority. It's not always the case. There probably is a great deal of respect there for Bertie Ahern. Greg, people should never forget that Bertie or Kenny and Kenny, so that's Bertie Ahern and Kenny, what they've done to our country. They looked after themselves before the people. Now, people looking to put them back in the spotlight like a reward, as Christy Moore quote, we are a nation of gob poops. Take a good look at ourselves. Yeah, but we forget. You know, we do forget. Artie, you've done a great job, I suppose you could say, in rehabilitating Bertie Ahern. He was in the wild for quite some time and then started popping up on shows and then became a commentator on certain matters. So that's all part of the rehabilitation. But look, we've had politicians not too far from here that were the worst in town. The worst in town. And then a year later or 2 years later, they might be cheered at a demonstration, for an example. you know, I'm not saying they're the worst in town. In reality, I'm on about being perceived as such. And then a year later, you know, trumpeted as amazing at a demonstration or something. So, you know, the public have a short memory, a short memory span. Another, what are you chatting about? We had three great presidents. What a load of rubbish. Totally agree. Jobs for the boys and girls. Don't see any difference in Conor McGregor or the rest of the bull poopers. A lot of you swearing in your text today. I have to be on my guard not to let one slip, especially having been off for 4 days. Michael D will be well remembered for legalising abortion into law. Again, I get where you're coming from. Really overstating the role of president. And I do know, especially when people are sort of trying to argue the case for you know, anti-establishment candidates, for an example, that the whole role of the president is overstated and what really they're capable of doing. And yes, they sign into law things on Christmas Eve and blah, 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 but they have to. Their role is very, very limited. They go out and shake hands with the players at the All-Ireland. They welcome Macron into Dublin. You know, they head up to Belfast and shake a few hands. There's no point trying to make out it's a role greater than that. You know, in history, he will be the person that signed the legislation. But in reality, that's, you know, what the president does. You could pack it in. What does John not agree with my comment? Someone that took a big salary now back for more. Okay. We don't need a president. A waste of taxpayers' money and they sign everything, so no need. Yeah, okay. Catherine Connolly assert, Greg, I know very little about Catherine Connolly. And I think I'm kind of normal. But maybe I'm not. Maybe she's very popular up here, but I know nothing about her. I don't see... she's had no positive impact or reflection on my life. I've said this, I'll probably end up interviewing her, and I don't want to be two-faced, which I won't be. But I have no knowledge of the lady whatsoever. But that could be me and the information I consume. How the banks can extract $5 billion in profits and pay almost no tax in Ireland? Well, the richer you are, the less tax you pay. That's why we're mugs, you see. Hi all, I think Brian Dobson would be a great president. Thanks. Yeah, well, there's a name. For president, we need someone who knows the Constitution and is prepared to defend it. Again, I'm not really quite sure. Maybe that's the role people want of the president, to be the defender of the Constitution. But, you know, the Dáil is and the Senate are the areas that are democratically elected to sort of legislate. I don't know. It might be worth teasing that out. Marion Harkin would make a great president, from Rosaline Connolly. That's a good one for up here. Well done. Yeah, maybe. She'd be a good negotiator. A caller says, it's time we heard a better discussion on who and how people can stand for president. Surely every Irish citizen should be allowed to run the same as local elections. Who are the councils or parties to decide the candidate? Well, I'd be very interested in your views on that. I mean, I think certainly Emma McGuinness was quite clear in what she said, that, you know, the right people will eventually end up running for president, but then using this system, some would say the wrong people have run for president. What would you think would be an acceptable bar to run for president? I mean, we can't have a situation, surely, or can we, where there's 200 or 300 candidates that I could just stick my name on the ballot and, you know, use it maybe even as a platform to promote myself. Or maybe that's the way it should be. What do you think? And this is a literal call to text, 086 60 25,000. Is it, do you have to sort of rub councils up? I mean, you know, to be an MEP or to get the backing of the MEP or the Senate's, you know, we had people saying, oh, well, you know, maybe councillors need to be paid more. And I'm like, when that was being said, I was like, really? Seriously? I mean, you know, you're looking for the support from a council, but it's, you know, it's not the most popular of opinions, though some people do believe that to be the case. Fianna Fáil should run Bertie Ahern so the young people are reminded how corrupt Fianna Fáil are, but the young people won't vote. See, that's the thing. As there is so many wars going on, earthquakes, earth overheating, etc., would you ask today's panel, do they think this is the tribulation the Bible talks about? I don't know. I mean, anything written in the Bible is eventually going to be right. Once again, Letterkenny businesses will be disrupted due to unnecessary parades, which should be held in the town park. I've no idea what that's about, Caroline. Are there parades? Or is this Pride? Is it the Pride? I think the Pride kind of brings money into Letterkenny. It's one of those sort of celebrationary things, whether you agree with it or not. A little bit more like St. Patrick's Day rather than a protest. It's all full of joy and colour, if that's your thing. So I'm not quite sure. I've not heard anything negative from businesses in relation to that. You know, if a business person wants to sort of send us a message on the QT just to give me some sort of a sense what the business community think, I think the Pride events bring people and money into the town, and I don't think it's quite the same maybe as some other events that you might be referencing there. Again, open to correction, there's people know more about this than I do. Are you going to Oasis, by the way? 160-odd thousand are you going to Oasis this weekend? I kind of would like to, but I'd like to be helicoptered down to Dublin and parachuted into my seat and then picked up and taken home, if you know what I mean. What I'm saying is I couldn't be arsed with the aggro of going, nor do I have a ticket. But, I mean, are you going to Oasis? Are you looking forward to it? Any interesting stories? Maybe you're a dad or a mum that enjoyed Oasis the first time round and you bring in your kids, or maybe they're big Oasis fans. Maybe you got married listening to Oasis and you're going down, or maybe you've got a little memory. Maybe you've met Liam or Noel. They're from Mayo, so who's to say? But I'm sure you're very, very excited. I'd be very excited. I'm kind of excited for you, and I'm not going. So are you going to Oasis? Why? What does it mean to you? What are you going to wear? Are you going to wear a bucket hat? I would love to hear from you. You know, let's mix it up a little bit, folks. You know, it can't be all serious all the time, can it? Speaking of which, we're going to do that draw around about 11:30. Shannon's going to be keeping me right. I don't have time necessarily to be all across social media. I do be on it flat out, but, you know, as she referred to me earlier on, I am an old fart. So maybe I'm not seeing what's happening, you know, in the cooler parts of the internet. So Shannon Wilkins is going to join me a little later on to keep me right. That and so much more besides. Who else do we have coming on in the show? Caroline? Who's coming on in the show again? There's another guest coming on. Sean Feeney. Yeah, Sean Feeney's in. He's a very talented man. He's going to be talking about his new single. We're going to hear it too as well, live. And if you watch the show, you'll be able to watch the video live as well, I do believe. So that and so much more besides. So give me your Oasis memories. Yeah, speaking of Oasis, I was in a restaurant yesterday and the waiter came back, the server came back and said, "Did you enjoy your Oasis soup, sir? Did you enjoy your Oasis soup?" And I says, "Yeah, it was lovely. It was vegetable. Why do you call it Oasis soup?" He says, "Because you got a roll with it." okay. Thank you. Right, 086 60 25 000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25 000. Now give us a call, please, on 074 91 25 000. You're tuned to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. If you want to email, it's comments@highlandradio.com. And if you want to watch the show, hop onto YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland. A caller says, I want to wish Father Damien the best of luck as he leaves Letterkenny this weekend. John and Eileen Walsh. Yes, indeed. Quite a number of priests are conducting their last masses this morning in Carrigart. A very popular priest there is in the middle of his last mass at the moment. So we wish he and all those that are retiring or moving the best luck. It must be a terrible upheaval or an incredible upheaval. And then I suppose going to a new area too for some priests when they've sort of, you know, made connections and ties, if they allow themselves to do so. I know some try and avoid that because they know eventually they might have to leave and it makes it all the more difficult. I believe I can say good morning now to Dr. Eben Joseph, who's a special rapporteur for the National Plan Against Racism and director of the Institute of Anti-Racism and Black Studies. Are you there, doctor?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you so very much indeed. Right, okay. So there's a warning, racist attacks by young people in particular are becoming a national crisis. How bad is the situation? And are we sure we're seeing an increase, doctor? And that's easy for me to say, right? But, you know, it's probably a legitimate question just to get things kicked off.
No, it's a good question because, you know, like, are we just panicking for nothing? Because, I mean, and I really wish we were just panicking for nothing, you know, but it is on the increase, you know. And, you know, the right now, in fact, we've had about like 6 or so reports in less than 5 weeks. And according to the EU FRA, the EU Fundamental Rights Agency, people actually report 9 out of 10 don't report. 9 out of 10. This is like scientifically proven that 9 out of 10 people don't report when they experience racism. You know, people think that, oh, you know, we just like easily like calling out racism when we experience it. Actually, when people experience racism, it's a shaming experience. People feel shame. it's such an embarrassing experience. I mean, look at the young man who was, you know, who was beaten. They took off his trousers, took off his boxers. Do you know what I mean? And that picture was making his rounds online. That is a shaming experience. If it was not so publicly displayed, most people, you know, out of shame, don't even want to report it. So that's the first thing we say about it. So there are people, there are reports that have not come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, every day I've seen more and more coming out. So yes, it's not an exaggeration. It mm-hmm. is, I mean, we actually have proof of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly, Doctor. And I'm not in any way discrediting that or trying to belittle people's experience. I'm just trying to get a handle on where we are as a country, and that's the purpose of this next question. Like, is it a case that there's always been racially motivated issues, which shouldn't be the case. And maybe more people are reporting now because they hear of other reports, the media coverage, and they feel more empowered to state that, you know, I was a victim of this crime, etc. Or is it a case that maybe we are... So is it a case that we're more aware of what's going on and has been going on for years? Or are we actually seeing, you know, an increase? What you're satisfied there definitely is a spike in actual instances and not sort of awareness and reporting?
I think it's a bit of both. There is an increase in incidences, but there's also more, you know, like when somebody reports something, it actually permits you, it actually gives you the, you know, the freedom to actually report yourself, because, you know, the shame, you know, reduces, particularly when you hear people saying, oh, it's not, you know, it's not actually true. You know, you're like, what? It happened to me, you know? So you actually want to just then come out and say, actually, no, it is true. You know, I have experienced it as well. But we are definitely seeing an increase. And I think for me, the worrying increase, it's not just that it's an increase, but that our young children, our young people are involved in it. For me, that is the fear, that is the panic. And I'm like, no, 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 this has got to be nipped in the bud. You know, I mean, if you start being a racist at the age of 12, at the age of 15, by the time you're 30, what, are you going to be a professional racist? No.
You see, the thing that doesn't help at all now is the X platform, for example, whereby, you know, racial stereotypes, offensive language is norm. It's unpoliced now. It's perfectly fine. You can say whatever you like. I'm not as concerned about that as I would be on TikTok, because I would have thought that their guidelines were much tighter. But as it turns out, it just so happened that I was really shocked by one video of some of the language and the stereotyping. And obviously, the longer you watch a video, and I watched the video out of interest to see what was allowed, you're fed more of those videos. And it turned up for like half a day of being bombarded on TikTok of, you know, really very strongly anti-black, anti-Asian, rhetoric, language, stereotyping. And that's what's influencing our children. And I think once that's normalised, then maybe when you're in the street, you feel a bit more empowered to refer to someone by a racial slur or a stereotype. You know, so that really concerns me. I thought there was way more control on particular, particularly on TikTok, than there is, even.
No, see, it just depends on the group you're targeting, you know? So there are some things that are a bit more controlled on different platforms. I mean, like X is a no-no. I literally don't use X anymore, because like all I need to do is just show up there. All I need to just put my name there, and you can see them. They come out like, you know, like packs, you know, from nowhere. They appear from nowhere. And the kind of words they use, they actually use the words like if they don't know that you're actually a human being and you have feelings. So they use words like, my God, like, I have snapshots of most of them, because I know that in 10 years time they'll tell me that this never happened. So I have snapshots of them, which I've kept for, you know, for future references. Just
keep
to
the
write
receipts.
My book
keep
someday.
The receipts. But what we
keep a receipt, yes.
Yeah, but listen, say you go to a school in Letterkenny here, or any school in the county, the students are, you know, there's a big mix of Asian students, African students, Eastern European students, Irish students, and they all get along. So at some point, right, so at some point they then silo or go into separate groups and then feel it's okay to be negative towards their fellow student or what have you. You know, so there we have an opportunity there. We have them all in the same space. They're all friends at some point, and then 99% of them remain. But there clearly is a 1% or 2%, or maybe it's greater, I don't know, that somewhere on that journey they feel it's okay to speak to other people the way that they do.
Yeah.
That's what we need to target on, isn't it?
Absolutely. One of the things I'm saying is that, you know, like, see, there's the online space that is influencing all of this, you know. For example, like when parents went on the riots, they took children with them when they burned down, you know, when they burned down the IPS hostels, you know, they took their young people with them. And, you know, they come back home with excitement, you know, all of that thing. And we see that our young people, you know, there's this, you know, approval, you know, like group dynamics. So you think about the group dynamics on their own, they might not have done this. And you can see all the attacks. There was none of the attacks that was like only a single person. It was usually 2, 5, 7. So it's that group dynamics, you know, when they egg each other on.
Are they not the same people though, Ebon, that will, when they turn the corner in the next street, it could be someone that appears gay, or they turn the next street and it could be someone that's overweight, or they turn the next street and it could be a girl showing some cleavage or something. Like, is it racially motivated, or are these just sort of bad people that are going to pick on any section of society because they're, you know, that group pack mentality?
Yeah, again, they would pick on anybody in the society, but if that was the spate that was going on, then we would have had a mix. We would have had, you know, maybe they beat up an Indian guy today, then they beat up a gay guy the next day, then they beat up a black Muslim the next day, you know. So it had been spread around, you know.
Yeah,
so, but you can see that in the last 5 weeks, the target have been very specific, very racially motivated, up to the point that a 6-year-old is also a victim. That's a no-no.
Okay.
You know, and not just from 6-year-olds like herself, but people who are bigger, you know, and you know, like a 6-year-old on the floor looking at a 15-year-old lad who look like a ginormous person, you know, in front of her, you know, and to imagine that image is etched in her head, you know, growing up.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we need to find some sort of a solution to it anyway. Okay. Listen, Dr. Ebon Joseph, thank you so much for your time. She's special rapporteur for the National Plan Against Racism. I have in studio with me Mary Doherty, coordinator of Lifeline Inishowen. Mary, how are you?
Good morning.
It's great to have you in. You're looking fantastic.
Thank you.
You've got two sets of glasses. I don't know what's going on.
One sunglasses and the other. Don't confuse me, I'm bad enough.
Oh, confused. All right, come here. There's a charity concert coming up for Lifeline. Before we get into that, and not to get into the nitty-gritty of Lifeline, we might if we've time, just give us an overview of the work Lifeline does, because I think that's really important as to why we're trying to sort of support the work you do.
Yeah. Well, Lifeline, we provide... We're based in Inishowen. Sometimes I'm told I sound like a politician. I don't know if you're aware, Inishowen is the size of County Louth. It's a population bigger than Leitrim. And because of that, we do need this service specifically in Inishowen.
It's a county within a county, although we're all part of the one family.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, it is very much
and
so.
And it's geographically set out that way too. It's
Without a doubt. And we're further isolated because we're... further away from other parts of, like, it's easy, quicker to get to there than it is to parts of Donegal for us and on the show. Right. The service we provide is a helpline. It's for families who experience domestic abuse. We provide a helpline, a drop-in, counselling for adults, counselling for children. We create awareness. We go out and create awareness with different groups.
In schools as well, too.
In schools as well. We do the school programme. Yeah. I mean, that to me is one of the most important things to try and change young people's attitude of what it actually is and how what respecting a partner means.
Yeah. And for me, it's countering a lot of stuff of what they're exposed to.
Yeah.
Right? Because we can only expect the best of our young people, and they are amazing. They really are, and we platform them here the whole time. But knowledge is power, and you can only sort of act and behave when you know what the right thing to do is. And sometimes us as parents, we don't always get it right in focusing the certain areas. So I love the idea that you go into school and people can have wholesome, enjoyable interactions with, you know,
with
other
the young people.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the thing about it is we learn a lot from them too. It's not just what they learn from us. We're learning from them when we're going in there to know how to try and, I suppose, their attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, I still can't believe it, Greg, when I go into the schools, a lot of them are not aware what a healthy relationship is.
Mm-hmm.
And that shocks me. Mm. In this day and age, but it's still happening.
Well, look where you'd get, you know, I mean, it's possible maybe your parents don't get on or they split up. Yeah. And then you're watching telly and everything is sort of transactional and casual if you're watching Love Island, and maybe you're exposed to pornography, and there's this impression you might get that, you know, women enjoy being roughed up a little bit. I'm sorry to use that kind of language, folks, but
that's reality
that's
of
what
life.
They're getting, you know, yeah. and it seems that that's the way women want it or whatever. Yeah. And it can be the same, you know, intergender as well. Don't get me wrong. Mm. Now, the thing about Lifeline in a show as well, it's on the ground, and it's there as a first step, and we never know when a woman is going to sort of say, right, this is getting really bad, or I realise what's happening here is not normal, whatever the scenario might be, and that's when yous are there, and it's also there's children there as well, and a lot of people stay in a situation because of the kids,
children,
right?
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important that if someone comes to you, you say, well, listen, our services, we understand that, we've dealt with thousands of people before. So it's support there at probably what is the lowest point of a person's life.
It's going to be one of the biggest decisions they're ever going to make. We're talking about in a relationship maybe from 2 years to 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's... And we're surprised ourselves. There's more awareness out there now. Mm-hmm. Thank God for that. For years, people have lived in it. I mean, over the last month or so, there's been a few people came to us who've been in the relationship for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is 25 years. And it's because they think that they're staying for the children. Mm-hmm. But the other big thing is financial abuse.
Yeah, of course.
They have no control over the finances at all. Okay, so therefore,
maybe
think,
their
where
name
can
never,
we go?
Maybe their name never. We had a message in from a listener during the Q&A with Seamus Gunn about legal stuff. Mm. And the woman had been, it was a woman, yeah, had been with their partner for like 20 years in the house, contributing to the house, raising children. Name wasn't on the deeds. They weren't actually married. They were just sort of living together. And the answer was an honest question. To get what you might be entitled to out of that house is going to be very complicated and very expensive and not guaranteed any success. So you stick around. You stick around because you think
They're afraid. Financial. And, of course, the children is another one. But do you know what the biggest thing, and I think this amazes me still, what are the neighbours going to say?
Yeah.
I thought that was... Yeah. Done and dusted years ago, but it's not.
No, because they're afraid of being described of breaking up the family.
Exactly. Not the perpetrator. Yeah. It's the person, the woman, or the person who moves out is the person who's breaking up the family.
That's why it's very important to speak directly to those people listening today and say that, you know, there's no judgment in it. You know, whether you leave after 6 months, 5 years, 10 years. Unfortunately, an abuser's behaviour doesn't change. And it's often they'll have the same sort of relationship with consecutive partners.
Yep.
They will gaslight you. They will tell you it's your fault. They will tell you your friends are a bad influence. They'll try and say you're not good with money. I'll look after the money. They'll piece money out to you. They'll try and isolate you. They will, if they abuse you or angry with you, they will say to you that you made me do it.
Exactly.
That's how they control you. They make you feel like less of a person. You might have endured that for 15 years. Don't be afraid to step out from that. Live your life. We get a very short spin on this planet.
Yeah.
A very, very short spin. And in good health, it's even shorter.
Yeah.
Live your bloody life.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Live
with
your
you.
Life. Everything can be overcome. Get out and move on.
And there is the support there. This is the thing about it. And please, it is confidential. And the other thing that I want to highlight too is about the child counselling. That is something that the mothers look for nearly straight away. And it's there. And it's lovely that you can see the change in the child when they're coming through those doors from the first day to the day they leave.
If you do it right, children are very adaptable.
Yes. But it's a matter of, what am I trying to say here? Prevention is better than cure.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of services, they wait until there's a crisis, then they deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, there should be more child counselling. If you get it when they're younger, it's going to stand by them, you know, as teenagers when they're older. They're in a better place.
Before we, I'm going to take a break and then talk about the concert. No, it's not you, it's me. I said I'd have a brief chat, and here we are going through it all. I just want to get a sense of just to, so people understand how important Lifeline is, the kind of numbers of people that you deal with on an annual basis, and are you seeing a trend? Oh, is it steady? Are you seeing increases? Where?
Funny, we've seen a big increase since the beginning of this year, and I don't know if it's because there's more advertisements or more awareness out there. As
big cases, you know, high profile court cases or stuff like that, or you know, if when we start talking about violence against women, and it's often perpetrated following a long spell of domestic violence and maybe a murder, I think those things sort of, you know,
they've brought it out.
People as well,
there's
for
no
sure.
doubt about
so
it.
Sorry, give me an idea of numbers. We know there's an upward trend.
As you're aware, we're only there part-time. We're very lucky to be there that long. Mm. So last year in the counselling, there were 61 children came through our service. We had dealt with 120 adults. And that's just with us.
And
most of that's voluntary.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is the thing about Lifeline. It's not, we get small amounts of funding. I can't say we don't get any. We do get small amounts of funding. It's the community, really, that have kept
amazing
the service going, because they're
people and then offering counselling to a lot of kids. Okay, that's the type of work Lifeline are trying to do, and for the most part they're self-funded, community funded. Okay, and they are an incredible service. I'm going to speak more to Mary Doherty about a lovely concert that's coming up. It's a charity concert for Lifeline after we take this break. Mary Doherty is with me, coordinator of Lifeline in Inishowen. And just a brief reference, we're well aware domestic violence, it's not just women. You know, you deal with women and children and you refer some men. There is certainly an issue with domestic violence with male victims as well, Mary, just to recognise that whilst it's not the absolute focus of Lifeline. And, and I think you said sort of off air, we need more supports for men as well.
Well, the one thing that we're very aware of, abuse is wrong. I'm sorry, it doesn't matter whether it's male or female. And it's something that each of us, well, we all have sons. We don't all have sons, but we have brothers or sons or whatever.
Yeah, we all have men.
And we don't want
life
to see it happening to them either. But that's something that they will have to do themselves.
Yeah, for sure. And we talk about it, it's just to recognise it. Right, okay. So, all roads lead to a fantastic charity concert that's taking place on Sunday, the 17th of August. So talk to me about what's coming on.
Right. It's called The Painter, excuse me, and The Piper. And it's organised by Sharon McDade, a local artist, and Gabby Fitzgerald, who's a musician. And they've live music and an art exhibition in the Mallon Road at Sharon's...
Where? I don't know.
No, Sharon's art.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, all right, okay. You're looking at
sorry,
me. Sorry,
I'm stuck for words.
No, you're right. Listen,
sorry about that.
No problem. It's taking place at the Silver Birch Gallery, isn't it?
Yes. I haven't had that.
Don't worry
so it's at the Silver Birch Gallery, Mallon Road, Cairn Dunna. It's going to be a great event, right?
Wait, I can cut all that out, by the way. Don't worry.
So 3 o'clock, the exhibition in the gallery, right? Then we have the great Inishowen traditional choir are going to perform then. Then we have Gabby and his friends, who are amazing, as we all know. And then the Henry Girls, who are going to
It's amazing, these amazing musicians, Gabby Fitzgerald, the Inishowen traditional choir, the Henry Girls. I mean, you don't know whether you're going to see them at an event like this or on stage at Glastonbury, but they never forget their local community either, which is amazing. That is fantastic music altogether. Then it's off to McGrory's Hotel called
Then
Daff.
It's off, yes, that evening, and they're having music in the bar from 7:30 to 9:30. And then they're continuing that.
No.
Yes.
There's a complimentary barbecue.
Oh, yes.
Now, Sunday evening, the sun's out.
Yeah.
The buns are out.
Yeah.
And I'm on about the burger buns.
Yeah.
So from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m., a farewell trad session with a complimentary barbecue in the front bar. And then David O'Connor and Shane Byrne are going to play in the live lounge from 9:30 till late. That's a full
full day. Now, when we say in the lounge, it's going to be in the back room in McGrory's, mm-hmm. where people can dance and whatever. So that's from 9:30 to 11. So it's a full day of music. And these are all local people who are doing it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's because they support the charity. They really do support us throughout the years, and it's amazing.
Shall we start from the beginning again? So everyone... So what we're talking about? No, I'm going to do this.
Good. I can
you
see
sit
that.
There, look pretty. So this is a charity event all day on Sunday for Lifeline Inishowen. It starts at the Silver Birch Gallery on Sunday at 2:30 p.m. featuring Gabby Fitzgerald and friends, the Inishowen Trad Choir and the Henry Girls. Then later that evening, it's off to McGrory's Hotel Coldaff. There'll be a farewell trad session from 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. with a complimentary barbecue in the front bar. Lovely. David O'Connor and Shane Byrne then will play in the live lounge from 9:30 till late, so you'll be able to have a dance. Now, tickets are available online. You can get them at the Silver Birch Gallery, Mallon Road, the Tourist Office, Carn Donagh, McGrory and Coldaff, Neil Doherty's Gift Shop and Jewellers. So every ticket you buy, you know, it's one of these lovely things, isn't it, Mary, whereby you're going to have a fantastic day, you're going to hear fantastic music, see some beautiful art, but also at the same time, you're supporting Lifeline. And it's because of the people involved giving up their time and their expertise to enable this to happen. So listen, the weather's going to be beautiful on Sunday. You've got art, barbecue, music. What else would you be at, Mary? Tell
exactly.
me. What else would you be at?
There's
nothing.
Nothing. There's nowhere else you would get anything like this for such a good cause. It's
all
just
right.
great.
Okay. And as we say, Lifeline Inishowen Domestic Violence Services, they are there for you all the while. And whilst me and Mary having a bit of fun about the charity day, it's also really, I suppose, for me anyway, what I'm trying to do is destigmatize talking about it, right? That it's a reality. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes our lives unlivable, and you can be happy all the time or try and get there in that place, right? So sometimes we have to talk about big things in different ways. The bottom line is Lifeline Domestic Violence Services are there for you all the time. And there's a group of amazing people under Mary Doherty. And to keep that work going as it is, and maybe even to expand it somewhat, they've got this amazing event taking place throughout Sunday. It starts off, just to mention again, the Silver Birch Gallery, Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Gabby Fitzgerald and friends, the Inishowen Trad Choir, the brilliant Henry Girls, and then it's McGrory's Hotel Coldaff. A trad session, 7:30 to 9:30, a barbecue in the front bar, and then David and Shane playing live in the lounge or in the back room so you can have a dance 9:30 to late. Get your tickets, Silver Birch Gallery, Tourist Office, Carn Donagh, McGrory, Coldaff, Neil Doherty's Gift Shop and Jewels.
Just turn up.
Anything else?
Coldaff,
oh, just turn
night.
Up. We'll sort
and
you
Coldaff,
out.
Coldaff, it doesn't, they don't, if they can't make it to the concert, we'd appreciate if they called Coldaff in the evening.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right then. So Mary, listen, keep up the brilliant work that you guys do. You look like there's something else you want to mention.
I just wanted to mention, sorry, we do have, can I just have a quote from one of the quotes from our clients?
Go ahead.
Being in an abusive relationship.
Get behind that mic just a little bit. Carry on.
Being in an abusive relationship for a long time made me feel so lost and alone. But when I eventually found the courage to reach out for help, I was so relieved to find that the help I needed was so close to me with the Lifeline and the Showing. I just think that's very important that anybody who's listening.
It's everything.
Yes.
It's everything.
Anybody that's listening, please, if you need us, we're there and we will walk the journey with you. It's not what we want. Whatever that person wants, that's what we'll do. Mm. Can I give her phone number now?
It's very important. I want to leave that to last. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, it is last. Go ahead.
The helpline number is 086 0650353. Is that all right?
It's perfect. And we're going to retain that here. We have that here anyway all the time. It's very important for you out there to know, too, that we do carry these numbers. And maybe you know, domestic violence can extend to people looking what's on your phone. Maybe you would be safer sending us a text or give us a call, and we can pass on those numbers for you, and we'll help you in any which way we can. Mary Doherty, you do amazing work, by the way, so keep it going. Yes, one more thing.
I just want to thank all the volunteers who support Lifeline on the show, and really appreciate it, and all the people who have supported us in any way. Also, there is a young woman who's doing the Longford Marathon in August, Michelle Duffy, and she's doing it for Lifeline and is showing, and I just want to put that out.
Great
there
stuff. Give me more details on that.
I will. I'll forward it on.
Thanks, Mary. That's Mary Doherty there, who is coordinator of Lifeline and is showing.